love you. We give you praise, glory, and honor on this beautiful day that you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 as I turn there with you. Now, it's important on this chapter, we're only going to cover six verses this morning. It is my prayer that your spirit is attentive to these words, because they are indeed some of the deepest and powerful things that Paul has ever penned. When we get to chapter 10, all the way through the end, which would be chapter 13, we've now entered into the final section of our study in 2 Corinthians, one of the greatest epistles I believe that Paul has ever written. Of course, Romans, how can you be any better than that? But we left off, remember, in chapters 8 and 9 with that two-part series on the joy of generosity. Now, when we get to chapter 10, it's like, what happened, Bill? In other words, there's an abrupt change that takes place in Paul's writing and also in the things that are occurring. And what's happened here in these last four chapters that we're going to study, not this morning, of course, is that, to me, they mark Paul's saddest and most heartbreaking words that he ever penned. These last chapters are just, even now, I get emotional thinking about what that man went through for the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for the church at Corinth. Paul told that church who abused him so much, he said, you know, the more that I love you, the less you love me. And do you not know that I would gladly, my life would be spent for you? That's the kind of man that Paul was. He loved the churches and the things that God called him to do. Now, as we enter into 10, everything is different. And the reason it is, again, this abrupt change, even though the church at Corinth, their hearts were finally broken. They repented and they said, oh, Paul, they said, we want back. We want to get back with you. But there was still a minority, if you will. And this minority, they were rebellious. They were mean. Boy, I'll tell you, they were just bad, if you will. And they were composed of some vicious, false teachers that were full of the devil and some believers that were literally following them. So as we see again, Paul now is defending his ministry in a deeper way. These six verses take us into the depth of what spiritual warfare really is. Now listen carefully. Paul does something, and I don't want you to miss this. In the very first verse, everything changes, because Paul had been using plural pronouns, you know, we and they and us and all of this. Now Paul changes. I want you to look at this very first verse, because Paul takes the pen from the copyist that was writing this for him, his secretary, if you will, and now he writes himself. And this is the title of this morning's sermon. Paul says, now I, Paul, myself, say that with me, now I, Paul, myself. Father, as we begin this word, let it penetrate our hearts. And the church says, amen. Now, Paul, myself, I'm pleading with you, meaning those that are in this horrible rebellion, this minority. He says, I'm pleading with you, and look how he does it, by the meekness and, oh, by the gentleness of Christ, who, in presence, in other words, when I'm present, well, I'm lowly among you. Being absent, or when absent from you, you say, I'm bold toward you. So Paul says, now I, Paul, myself, I am begging with you. I am pleading with you. My heart is breaking for you. I want you to do something. Please, in Jesus' name, by his meekness and by his gentleness, would you reconsider your position? What did he just do? He did what every believer should be doing even today. In the midst of warfare, in the midst of the problems that we go through in life, he imitates our Savior. That's what we are to do. Ephesians 5:1 says we need to be like dear children and imitate the Lord. Jesus or Paul or John, whoever it was. It's the early service. I can get everything wrong here. In 1 John 2:6, what did John write? He says, listen, if you say that you abide in him, meaning Jesus, you should walk just as he walked. So Paul says, oh, listen, I'm just appealing to you. I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, when you think about that meekness and gentleness there, do you remember in the scripture how Moses, in Numbers, I think it was 12, chapter 3, whatever it was, that Moses was called the meekest man that in that generation that ever walked the face of the earth. Can you believe that? Moses, the meek man, the deliverer who led all those people, the Jews, out of bondage, out of Egypt. Moses, I mean, God spoke to this man out of a burning bush, and he's meek. If God spoke to you out of a burning bush, would you be meek and gentle? You'd be on TBN. No. Moses, who water came from the rock. Moses, who parted the Red Sea. Moses, who received upon Mount Sinai 40 days, 40 nights without water, without food, received the Ten Commandments of God, the pattern for the tabernacle, all those things. And there he is. And you think about Paul. Paul, saved by the resurrected, risen Savior himself, appeared on the road to Damascus. Paul healed the sick, raised the dead. Man, I mean, called up into the third heaven. Do you think that there would be a little bit of pride in those boys? But there wasn't. Not in Paul. Not at all. Paul says, now I, Paul, myself, I'm begging you. I am pleading with you to end this rebellion, and I'm doing so in the meekness and gentleness of Christ Jesus. There's, you know, meekness is Warren Wiersbe has always said, weakness is not weakness, but it's the power of God under control in our lives. Amen? Matter of fact, I don't know if you know it or not, but Warren Wiersbe, one of the greatest Bible expositors, I think, of this generation, passed away on May 2nd. He's no longer with us. He's home in heaven. What a great man of God. But meekness isn't weakness. It's the power of God under control in our lives. And no one could harness that meekness and that gentleness and that power more than our Lord. Amen? Man, I mean, he could have done anything. He could have created a whole universe anytime he wanted to, but he didn't. Not only that, meekness, of course, I believe, is the mind of Christ. If you read Philippians chapters 1 through 11, you'll see that meekness in there at all, as well. And then the gentleness, that is an essential quality of every Christian, but mainly of every Christian leader. They must be gentle. They must be meek. They have to turn the other cheek sometimes more than the other Christians do, if you see what I mean. And that's what Paul is doing here. Paul writes to the church at Philippi in chapter 4, verse 5. He says, let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. And he may be coming today. Amen? So with all that being said about meekness and gentleness, that's very important that you get this point. You see, there is no place, absolutely no place for pride in the Christian. Pride is exactly where the devil wants you to be. Boy, he desires you to be in pride and walk in pride, because if so, of course, that's his nature, being prideful. He can work on you, believe me. So the incredible character that we need in warfare is what is found right here. True spiritual power comes from the meekness and the gentleness that's in Christ Jesus, who is now living in our hearts. Amen? Don't miss that very first point. We have to have that in warfare. He says, but I beg you, when I am present, in other words, when I'm going to meet you in Corinth, he says, when I'm present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against what? Now, that word against some, he's speaking now of the false teachers that he's going to confront there when he arrives. He says, who think as if think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, you know, to practice meekness and tolerance, especially in spiritual warfare, listen to me, that doesn't mean that you patty cake things. It doesn't mean that you practice tolerance, okay? It doesn't mean that you water down God's word at all. You see, Paul, when we get over to the next chapter, he's going to say, yeah, you false apostles, you work for the devil. You're liars, you're a bunch of demons and deceitful workers. That doesn't sound very meek to me, does it, you? No, he calls it just like it is. But what Paul did when he says, against some here who think of us as though we, now he's using a plural again, that we walk according to the flesh. What is Paul saying? He uses that word, according to the flesh there, as relating to an unbeliever. So Paul is not saying that's my walk. He's saying all of the false teachers that he's going to confront, that's their walk. They're walking according to the flesh. They're carnal. They're not spirit-filled. They don't belong to the Lord. Now watch this. For though we walk or live, that's what that word means, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Paul just told us how to fight our battles when we're confronted from the powers of darkness. He said, listen, we live in the world because we walk in the world, but we're not to be conformed to the world standards. He says, for the weapons of our warfare, you're in a war, brothers and sisters. He says, the weapon of our warfare are not what? They're not from the flesh. They're not of this world. They're not carnal, okay? We are in a war. We're in a war right this minute, just like Paul was. Listen, Paul did not depend upon human weapons. He depended upon heavenly weapons. No, absolutely no worldly human strength or wisdom or human plan or human weapon can defeat the powers of darkness. Don't ever forget that. Your plan won't work. My plan won't work. Only God's plan will work. You cannot fight spiritual battles with carnal weapons. And listen to me now. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Fight me in the flesh. Fight me with your own wisdom. Fight me with your strength, your know-how. Oh, Satan loves that. Why? Because Satan operates in the flesh and fallen man. Do you understand? He loves to appeal to the mind. He loves to appeal to your wisdom because he is wiser than we are. Do you understand? Yeah. Oh, listen, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, brethren, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What are they? Well, they're mighty in God. And look at the purpose. For pulling down strongholds, for pulling down, for destroying, for taking down, just demolishing strongholds, fortresses, if you will. Now, did you notice that the weapons of our warfare, and we're all in a war, did you notice that they're not listed? I think the Holy Spirit did that on purpose. He didn't list them. And I believe that the reason that Paul did not list them is because every believer must know the Word of God, go into the Word of God to bind the Bible to find them. The Bible is the only book on earth that came from heaven. Amen? And it has every answer that we need when it comes to spiritual warfare. And we have to find those answers. Listen to me. You are dealing right this moment, whether you know it or believe it or not, you're dealing with the greatest, and I like to use the word defeated, the greatest defeated deceiver in all of the universe. If you don't know God's word, if you are not a student of the word of God, then you are not, you're ignorant of his devices. Paul writes, he says, but you're not ignorant of his devices. Well, you will be if you don't know God's word. Does that make sense? Man, you have to go to the Word of God. See, your enemy is not only the God of this age. He's the blinder of minds. He's the father of every lie. He appears as an angel of light, meaning that he makes the light that he shines out. He makes that darkness appear as light so men will embrace it. Do you understand? We need to have discernment today like never before. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, 10 and 11, it says, put on. That's something you do. You're responsible for. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the strategies, the deceptions of the wicked one, the devil. So the weapons of our warfare, again, they're not listed, but you have to find them in the Word of God. But what are they? Well, let's just take a few. Not all, but just a few. How about one that's premier, prayer. Amen? Prayer. Prayer is the work. Prayer takes you to the throne of grace, the place that you can obtain things in time of need. And if you're not going there, if you don't have a daily time of prayer level, and why not? You think the devil goes, well, you think that he wants you to have a prayer time? No, he loves you to leave the house. without having a prayer time. I had to rush out of the house the other day. My prayer time stunk, okay? I felt out of balance all day long. I hated when those things happened. And I finally just shut the door in my office and just prayed to the Lord and tried to get everything back, because you need to go to the throne of grace first, amen? You see, the Bible says in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not, because you ask amiss to spend it upon yourself or your own pleasures. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, what did he say? He said, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened. We have to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Prayer is essential if you're in spiritual warfare. How about the Holy Spirit? Man, not only do we need to be filled with the Spirit, we need to walk in the Spirit, and we also need to be led by the Spirit. Do you know if you're not led by the Spirit, you'll never, ever understand what 2 Corinthians 2:14 says? You don't understand it because you're not in the Word. It says, what does it say? For God, who always, oh, thanks be, and there it goes. Now, thanks be unto God, who always leads us in triumph. He's always leading us in victory, always leading us in victory, but you have to be led by the Spirit. You have to believe the Word of God. You have to know where to find that scripture in God's Word. And not only that, you know what? If you don't know God's Word, do you know you'll never know that you can't be defeated? You'll never know that you're not, you'll never learn that you're more than a conqueror in Him. You'll never get that. No, listen. God's Word is so important. If you don't know God's Word and you're fighting the devil, oh, loved one, listen, you won't know what 1 John 4:4 is. You know, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. You won't have that down. You'll not know what 1 John 5:4-5 is. You know, when it tells us that whoever is in Christ has overcome the world, even our faith. And who is he who has overcome the world but he who believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? So you have to, that Word has to live and abide in you. You have to hide the Word of God in your heart. You're in a war. But the greatest weapon that you have is the Word of God. Amen? That's why it says in Ephesians 6:17, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember, that's our only defensive weapon, our offensive weapon, if you will. And it says, when it says taking the Word, that's not logos, which is the Word here. It's rhema. It's the living Word. It's where the logos on this page, the logos of God becomes the rhema of God, meaning the a revelation in your heart. You've got it then. It's real. You know what it is. And that's what Paul is teaching us here. Man, listen, we have a sword which is supplied by the Spirit of God. It's living. It's powerful. It's eternal. It's never changing. It is the holy Word of the only true living God. Amen? We have that. And Satan will do absolutely anything to stop you from reading your Bible. He doesn't care how many Bibles you have. He doesn't care how many Bibles you have online. He doesn't care. He cares if you hold that Bible in your hand and you open it up and you start memorizing it and meditating upon it and believing it and applying it. Amen? Okay. Now, with all that being said, if you don't have a biblical worldview, you are defenseless against the devil. That's what Paul is dealing with here. He's not dealing, a loved one, with flesh and blood. We don't fight against flesh and blood, do we? No, our enemy's not flesh and blood. No, listen to me. Did you know that you can be born again and you can remain as a born-again Christian with a broken mind? Because, see, in Adam, every mind is broken. Every mind is deceived. And you can remain in a broken mind that still thinks like the world thinks. Because you've been in the world and you're saturated with the world in your mind. And you know what? An unrenewed mind is an unarmed mind. See, the Bible is our greatest weapon. The more you know the Word and believe the Word and apply the Word, the stronger you become. Now, we live in a time today of great deception, not only in the world, not only in our nation, but in the church as well. You see, Satan is removing or trying to move. Let me back up. Satan is doing a great job of helping churches water down the gospel. Do you understand? Where they only teach certain parts of God's word. Where the word sin or hell or whatever, discipleship, those kind of words are kind of not spoken too much in the church. Oh, listen, he's removing, the reason that's happening is because he's removing the only weapon that he knows that can defeat him. Listen, when you pick up the shield of faith, you can quench every fiery dart of the wicked one, amen? If you don't know that, he's glad. He doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to go and know anything about that. So many today, they don't know what the Word of God says. They may attend church. They may go to conference after conference. They may take 1,000 notes, but they're not letting the living Word of God abide in them where they grow in it. Now, Satan, you know what he wants? And we see it all the time. I was in a prayer team, not here, but someplace else the other day. And these guys, man, they were binding the devil here and rebuking the devil there. And I'm going, all right. And that's nothing wrong with that. But I mean, but once I started talking with them, and I realized, and I'm not condemning them. I was realizing that they may bind and rebuke and spit on and chase. I don't know. But you need to know God's word before you start doing stuff like that. Do you understand? You need to know the Bible before you just, oh, that's what I saw on TV or this. And do you understand what I'm getting at? No. You know, here you are beating up the devil. I'm rebuking you. You don't even know what justification, propitiation, sanctification, holiness is. There's a problem there. No, you know, you're out here binding the devil, and you know, I'm walking in the Spirit, but you don't know if the Holy Spirit is an essence, a language, a force, or the third person of the Trinity. Are you listening to me? See, we need to know these things. So Paul says in verse 4, again, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not of the flesh, they're not of this world, they're not carnal, they're mighty in God, or they're God-empowered for what purpose? Pulling down strongholds. Now, in context, this destroying a fortress, Paul is not talking about people. This is so important that you get this. Paul didn't destroy people, did he? No, as a matter of fact, look at go to verse 8 in chapter 10, if I can see it. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority. Now, this is about his spiritual authority here. Listen to what Paul says. Which the Lord gave us, and here's why. He gave it to us for building others up, for edification, and not for what? For your destruction. Paul is not talking about people here. We're talking about the devil. We're talking about the demons. We're talking about spiritual warfare. He says, we have these mighty weapons from God to pull down and destroy these fortresses, not people. See, if we don't believe of the seriousness of the battle that we're facing every day, we're going to walk out of our house without the armor of God on. We're not going to be prepared for battle. We're not going to be prepared for the temptations that come our way. That's what Paul is saying. So how can you pull down a stronghold from the wicked one if you don't know how to do it? That's why the Word of God is so important. A stronghold in our context is any type of thinking. In other words, thoughts. Any type of thinking that exalts itself above the true living knowledge of God and his word. That's what Paul is talking about. See, Paul is about to pull down. He's coming to Corinth. He's going to pull down all these fortresses, meaning these false teachers and all their lies and all this false doctrine that are brought about by seducing spirits and the doctrines of demons. He wrote that to Timothy, remember? Now, you can't pull down any lie if you don't know the truth. You just can't do it. Now, I encourage you to check out your own mind. You know, is there anything there that exalts itself above the Word of God? And that's easy to do today, believe me, in this world that we live in. The reason I say that is because I know that Satan only wants, if you're a believer, he just wants to gain entry. He knows he can't take your whole process of thinking, but can he just take a small part of it? Can he just gain a little tiny room someplace in your thinking process? That's all that he desires. And you know what? And he wants you then to believe those lies and act upon those lies that where he has that little pocket and act like that is pure truth. You see, you know, an unrenewed mind is a worldly, empty mind, and it's perfect soil, that little pocket. It's perfect soil to embrace his darkness that appears like light. We must be very wise. And here it goes in verse 5 again. Now watch this. It says, and casting down what? Arguments, or it's the King James Version I like better, is imaginations. In other words, false doctrines and lies of the enemy. So Paul says, now I, Paul, myself, I destroy. I'm coming to Corinth. I know what's going on, and I'm going to destroy these arguments. Again, not people, but what the words, these false words that were coming from people because their minds were broken. And not only that, Paul says, and every high thing. Let me give you another translation. Every elevated thing. One more translation. Every proud obstacle. Every high thing that exalts itself against, or literally in defiance of, the true knowledge of God. Paul says, you know what? I'm coming. Those guys are demonic liars. They're killing the sheep. They're hurting the sheep. They're abusing the sheep. They're greed, experts in greed. You're leading them to hell. Paul says, I am coming. Now listen, again, this is not about people. It's about what the people were teaching. You see, when it says those arguments there, it means that Paul is coming against those thoughts and those patterns and theories and whatever else that man has done there. Now listen carefully. We are living in the last days. This is a picture of the Antichrist that's going to come upon this planet. The reason that I say that is because, remember, when he comes, what does he want to do? He wants to control our thinking. He wants to control our actions. He wants to control every human being upon this planet. Everybody has to take the mark. You follow? Remember? And not only that, it says those who have the mark of the beast, number one, is going to be on their foreheads. That's speaking of symbolizing thought, and upon their right hands, symbolizing work. You cannot work, you can't think, you can't do anything unless you have the mark. Remember? That's what Paul is teaching us right here. Now listen, bringing every what? Every thought, where? Into captivity. Loved one, I pray you memorize these words. Bringing every thought into captivity. Now what does Paul want to take into captivity again? He's not talking about people. He's talking about thoughts, every thought. What an incredible statement he just made. He's saying every thought that you have, train it. Make it be subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look up in the Greek that word captivity, it literally means this, to take a prisoner with a spear, okay? To spear that along. In other words, you take every false thought. Come here. You see what I'm saying? That's what this paints, this beautiful picture. You bring every false thought or lie, and then you capture it with the truth. That's a glorious thing to do. Amen? Boy, every lie that tries to enter your mind. But if you know God's word, see, you can defeat that lie as it tries to dwell there. Does that make sense? Yes. See, Satan, where does he attack? He attacks your mind, loved one. Why does he do that? Because he knows that the mind is the operating system of every person, you know, for fear or worry, anxiety, guilt, whatever it might be. Satan also knows something else. He knows that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and boy, does he like that, because that's a perfect playground for the wicked one. He doesn't know which way to go. He has the Word of God right in front of him, but he's double-minded. He moves over here. He moves back over here. He doesn't, or she doesn't, know what to believe. Listen, Satan also knows this from Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks within himself, so is he. In other words, the person is truly the essence of what they think, or their thought life. see what Satan has done and is doing, but not to us in Jesus' name. He wants to hold a person's mind like a hostage, if you will. But God, what does God want? God wants you and your thoughts to be renewed to the Word of God so you think like the Lord. Remember what it says in Philippians 2:5? Let this mind which was in Christ Jesus be in you. 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. We're the depository, the church of the mind of Christ. Amen? So that's what we're to have. See, thoughts. When you think of thoughts, what does a thought contain? It's hard teaching up here, buddy. You know what I mean? Thoughts contain words. You're a loser. You're never going to make it. God doesn't love you. Your sins are not forgiven. Thoughts are made up of words, loved one. A stronghold that we have to pull down. A stronghold is nothing more than a house built by thoughts. So important that you get that. See, a stronghold, where Satan can get a stronghold, is whenever any type of thinking that exalts itself above the true and living knowledge of God's Word. We are then open door. Man, listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, it says this, there is a way, there are many ways in this world, they say, but there is a way that seems right, a way that seems right unto man. But it only leads to death. That's the way the world operates. What do you think? Well, it seems right to me. Well, you know, it seems right to me. You know, I mean, it just seems right to me. And you know why? Because in Adam, those that are not saved, every mind is broken. Their thought process is still in Adam. They're a natural man. They're not born from above. No. In Adam, every mind is broken and held hostage by Satan. Man, we live in a world. I heard a guy the other day on TV. They were talking about gender, and this guy says, "Well, I can choose my own gender." I said, "You what? I'm not beating him. I want to love the man. Do you understand what I mean? But when a 7-year-old boy says, "No, I can choose my own gender. I can choose my own gender," I said, "Well, why?" And he said, "Well, it seems right. It seems right." Oh, listen, there is a way, the Bible says, that seems right unto man. This is just, I know it's right, I feel it. But it's going to lead you to death. That's why we need to know God's Word. That's why we need to hide God's Word in our heart. Listen, if you don't have a biblical worldview, you can't cast down lies. They'll find a storage room, and they'll start operating in your life. Man, listen, you know, all the time, you hear it all the time. I know you do. I hear, sometimes I'm up here preaching or teaching, and you know what I hear? You better retire. Nobody's listening to you. You're an old man. Get out of here. You can't hear out of one ear. Arthritis in your fingers. Shut up. Lies. Lies. You're not going to make it. You're never going to make it. You're fooled. You're deceived. Oh, no, I'm not, because I know that he who began a good work in me, amen, not I didn't begin it, he who can never lie, he who began a good work with me, he will finish it until the very day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Philippians 1:6. I can do that. Well, God doesn't love me. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. How do you know that? Romans 5:8. For God demonstrates, and that word means proves his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, you have the Word of God. I'm defeated. How can you be defeated? You've overcome the world. Do you understand? The devil is a liar. You have all these thoughts, and if you don't take your spear, get out of here. Take that false lie and lock it up and kill it with the truth of God's Word. Do you understand me? That's why you're frustrated. That's why your mind gets so frustrated, because you're all these thoughts that come daily, we're bombarded. But if you don't know God's word, you can't cast that. You can't get rid of them, because you don't know how to replace that lie with God's truth that endures forever, the eternal word of the living God. Listen, an unrenewed mind is an empty, worldly mind, and it cannot ever pull down strongholds. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, this is something we do, we're born from above. Paul the apostle, he writes 11 chapters in Romans telling us who we are in Christ. And then the 12th chapter, he goes, I'm begging you now. Now I'm asking you to do something. Now that I've told you who you are, that you present, that's a picture of the word present, of a priest offering a sacrifice, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. And then he goes on down and he says in verse 2, and be not conformed, squeezed. That's that nacho thing, squeezed, you know. Be not conformed to what? This world. This world system that hates God. The way the world acts, the way the world lives. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye, here it is, transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and holy, acceptable will of God. You can't prove it unless you know God's word. Embedded in your heart. You have to renew your mind. Listen, unless you know the truth, you can't apply the truth. Unless you know the truth, you are not free, even though you've been set free. What did Jesus say in John 8:31? He says, you are my disciples indeed if you keep my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What sets us free? Truth, the truth of God, knowing God's truth. That's how you can say, you know what? That's a lie. That is not true. That's not true. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what our government is saying. I don't care what colleges are saying. I don't care what every movement on earth is saying. God's word is eternal. It'll outlast heaven. It'll outlast earth. It'll outlast everything in the universe. Amen? Heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said, my words will never, ever pass away. Now watch this. Casting down arguments, every high thing, exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Here it comes, bringing every thought into the captivity to what? To the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? You take that thought, that lie, and replace it with the truth. Now I'm making it obey. You're going to obey me. I'm not going to obey you. You don't control my thinking. God controls my thinking. Are you with me? This is so important. Obedience of Christ. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, John writes in 1 John 5:3, he says, and this is love. He says that you keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Loved one, that's so important that we know those things. See, you cannot destroy unless you enter into the stronghold with the living word of God and you pull that thing down. Paul is on his way to Corinth. He's going to destroy the false teachers. He's going, meaning the doctrine that they are teaching. Paul wants them saved. Amen? Absolutely. Now look at this last part. Paul says, and being ready. That means 24/7. Being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. He's speaking to the rebellious minority of believers at Corinth and the false teachers. This is military talk. This is war talk. Paul is saying, a general's coming. I'm a general in the army of God. You better get ready. I am coming. You're teaching lies. You better be prepared to either repent or run for your lives. Amen? But when he's talking about punishing there again, when Paul says, now I, Paul, myself, I'm destroying these arguments. I'm destroying these false teachings, these demonic doctrines. He's not talking about people again. He's talking about those broken, false words from them. You know, every Christian needs to rise up and say, for example, like Paul, now I, put your name there, Bill, myself, I take every thought captive. I'll punish you. You will not punish me. Do you understand? That's what those thoughts do. They punish. Your son will never make it. Never be saved. Your daughter. God wants everyone saved. You believe God's word, not your feelings, not even what you see. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. You say, no, I trust God. I don't care what I see. I trust God's word. It's not going to ever, ever fail me. Loved one, you are in a war, whether you know it or not, and you better wake up. I love you, but let me just say something mean, okay? Can I be a mean pastor for a minute? Are you too lazy to open your Bibles? Strong applause, strong. You know, I love you. I'm not beating on you. Don't be, if you are, don't be lazy. You don't want to be a lazy Christian. Listen, man, I'm telling you, you better beware. Here's what you need to learn about the devil. We're not ignorant of his devices, the Bible says. We can walk in discernment because we have the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth living in us. Amen? Did you know that the devil, you think, well, he's giving me bad thoughts. What you need to really beware of is when he gives you good thoughts and you don't know it. Did he give Eve a good thought in the garden? Oh, come on, Eve. You know, God knows the day that you eat this. You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be just like God. And Eve goes, yeah, just like God. How can that be a bad thing? Are you listening to me? That would be a wonderful thing. Oh, what's wrong with being like God? That was a great thought, too. Eve took it. She bit into it, didn't she? Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have a biblical worldview? Our kids need to have a biblical worldview. I've told the youth pastors, our children must have a kids' church, a biblical worldview. They leave here, they go off into the world, and they're not prepared. And parents, you need to give them a biblical worldview. Oh, listen, you know, either God is right or the world is right, but both cannot be right. Does that make sense? No, listen, without the Word of God, it's impossible for a person to even understand the world. Without the Word of God, it's impossible to know why you're here, why you were born, your destiny, what happens in this life and after you die. It's impossible. The Bible's the only book that tells us those things. No, listen, the Bible tells us that we must renew our minds. I'm getting ready to close, but just hold on. Ephesians 4:22. That's something we do. You put off concerning your former conduct, the old attitudes, the old thinking, the old man, in other words, the guy we were before we were born again, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, okay, how do we put off that old man? Here it comes. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And when you do that, listen to what happens, that you may put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The only way to put off the old guy, the old Billy, and put on the new Billy, okay, is by renewing your mind. Why? Because there are only two kinds of minds or two types of minds on this planet. Those that are being conformed to this world and those that are being transformed to the things of God. There are not any other kind of minds on this planet. Do you have a biblical worldview? I wrote down some things here. Ask yourself these questions, okay? Is there a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of light? Is there? Okay. Let me ask. Is there a God of this world who's also the prince of the power of the air? Do you understand and accept the fact that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against powers, world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places? Okay. Without this knowledge, You are nothing more than blindfolded warriors. Do you understand? Saved, but you're blind. You cannot see. And you know what? You don't even know who your enemy is if you don't know the Word of God. Man, these six verses to me are some of the most powerful scriptures that have to be practiced every day in the life of the believer. Are not your mind, your heart. You'll become first frustrated and beaten down in your life. And let me tell you something. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord. Just didn't, well, Jesus be my Lord. No, as your Lord, where you're following him. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, let me ask you a question. Do you think that good news is bad news? The good news of Jesus Christ is just bad news. Do you think that you have all the answers to what this life is and what happens after death? Do you think you have everything all together? The word think, I said over and over and over. I want you to ask yourself why you think these things. Why do you think them? I know why you think them. I know why I used to think. I'll tell you why. God will tell us right now. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, he was born here, he came a man, he died, he rose from the dead, he's seated at the right hand of God, he's paid for the sin debt of the world. If our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled to those people who are perishing. That means that are living a life, going through the activities of life, they're perishing as they are living because they're going straight to hell. What a horrible word, when hell wasn't created for man but for the devil and his angels. Here it comes. Whose minds? Whose thinking? Whose thoughts? The god of this age, that's the devil, has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Yes, Satan has the authority and power to blind the mind and to reject the greatest news ever told on this planet, that a person can be born again. What he wants to do, if you don't know Jesus as Lord, listen to me. He wants to hold your mind hostage because your mind is still an atom. In an atom, all die. In an atom, all minds are broken. And whenever you have a broken mind, you find it easier to trust in, believe in, and rely on lies. Because only the truth of God will set you free. If you don't know Jesus, listen to me. If you will say right now, I put your name there. I, Paul, I, Bill, myself. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead. You'll be saved. And the veil of your mind will be taken away, and you will see clearly. Father, we thank you for this word this morning, those that are present, those listening live. As every head is bowed in this place and every eye closed, I know not the hearts of anyone here. I know in our early service, the majority of us are all saved usually. However, if you don't know Jesus, your mind can know, you can be set free. Your heart can be set free. You can walk away from bondage right now by asking Christ to be your Lord. You may never have this opportunity again. Some of you might be here this morning, maybe young people. You're just playing church. You're just here because mom and dad are here. I'm telling you, you better get right with God and get right with God now while there's time. So if Jesus is not your Lord, and you're ready in your heart, say, Bill, I believe. Would you just lift your hand and say, Bill, I want to be a Christian right now. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Just raise it up, put it right back down. You don't have to come down to this altar or anything like that. But I have to ask you, I have to feed the word and fish. And I'm fishing. I want to catch you if you're not saved. Last call. If that's you, would you put your hand up and put it right back down? Well, Father, I assume that everyone is saved in this early service, for which I am truly thankful. I pray for those listening live, if they did pray that prayer, that, Lord, right now they can, as you know, email me at info@loveneverfails.com. I'll send you out a booklet. Just give me your address. Lord, for those that are present, we must have a biblical world view. Our thinking must be right thinking, true thinking, so we can have true living and true spiritual power. I pray over the sheep now of your pasture. I pray that these six verses just lifted and liberated them. And that frustration in their minds that the devil has tried to cause. Things are not going to change. This is as good as it gets. Just accept it and move on. They bind and displace and destroy those strongholds of false thinking right now. And that they walk in with a new step, a new joy. I ask it, and I believe it, in Jesus' name. And the church says,